seated this morning. For many reasons, I love that story. Sometimes it's placed in the difficult stories about Jesus because his initial answers are hardly complimentary and hardly supportive, are they not? But, of course, the table gets turned, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. First, again, I want to thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. I know change is constant, as we know, but change is difficult. Change is even difficult when a stranger comes and things don't go exactly the way. Maybe I zig instead of zag, and you know I need to cue start the music and all that. That's a little bit different, obviously, than Mother Jen, and I'm delighted that you have such a wonderful relationship with her. I'm delighted that I was part of that, because if you remember, and honestly, I came at a time of change for you, and we walked together for a short period of time, and things may or may not have gone exactly as you had anticipated them, but all that I hear and see and read is that you continue to walk a wonderful path, and I'm happy for you. I mean that sincerely. But change is a constant. And you know, whether it's technological change, I love telling people, reminding people, we walk around with a powerful computer normally in our pocket or in our hand all the time. A phone is a computer. And think about the fact that you can take that little piece of metal and silicon and a few other things, and in less than 15 seconds, if you're fast, you can call someone literally on the other side of the globe and talk to them. That's mind-blowing. You didn't grow up initially, at least the younger did, but us older folks didn't grow up thinking that was going to happen, or if it did, it was only Dick Tracy who had the little television phone on his wrist. And that's just one of the countless ways that things have changed, and they will continue to change, and in fact, maybe even in frightening ways, but change is part of it. And I think, believe it or not, and we're going to come to that, I think there's a connection between that and what we just read about, what we just heard. But there's one change that really stands out for me, and again, because of the story we just heard. The woman says, even the dogs get the crumbs. When I was born 68 years ago, and for my childhood, dogs were not treated anything like they are today. Think about that. I see a lot of you shaking your heads. Just in our lifetimes, our relationship with animals, for most of us, and I can't speak for all of you, has changed dramatically. When I was a kid, there were dog houses. When's the last time you actually saw a dog house or somebody using a dog house? The only house that most dogs have nowadays is the same house that you live in. And that's certainly the case in our family. But think about that. If I'm honest, our dogs have slept with us for periods of time. And I'm happy when our cat sleeps on my lap. In fact, I try to encourage him to do that, and he's not really cooperative like cats. But you know, that's changed so much. When I was a child, the neighbors next door, a couple without children, had a little dog. And we considered them eccentric because the dog lived in the house with them. Imagine that. I bet if you're honest, you had people like that. Maybe you were one of those families that had a dog that lived inside. But boy, you were in the minority back then. And when you went to the grocery store, there wasn't an entire aisle of pet foods. There might have been half a dozen, you know, bags of dog chow and a few cat cans, and that was about it. In fact, I would be embarrassed if I told you how much our family spends every month just for the well-being of our dogs. We had two. We have one now, unfortunately, and our two cats. And again, not pointing fingers, but I bet some of you might say the same thing, particularly if you are pet lovers and if you have animals, and they have very real needs. do they not? But here's the thing. Are they not part, for those, I'm speaking to those, of course, who have pets, are they not parts of your family? They are. And I think that's a good thing. You may disagree with me, but I think that's a good thing because it helps us and it reminds us that all of creation, four-legged, winged, slithering, all creation is from God. It's part of God's plan. Was in fact, all those other things came before we did, if we take the creation story at face value. All creation is from God and therefore is blessed. And we can't go back and change the way we treated animals in the past, but we can treat them now. And when Jesus said back then, you know, referring to dogs, and in one sense, actually kind of referring to her then as a dog, or she, but she, in her cleverness, you know, took and flipped it on its head. Dog was hardly a worthy thing. Even now, if just in common language, if somebody calls you someone else a dog, that's usually not considered a compliment. But the reality is we live with dogs being an integral, beloved part of our lives, at least some of us, if not most of us. And just parenthetically, because this is, I think it's kind of fun, when I left here in 2021, I believe, and went just a few miles north to Crawfordsville, where I then, after having served you as interim rector, went and served as interim rector in Crawfordsville for a year. In my very first month there, someone abandoned a kitten at the front door of the church, which I found. And it was a scraggly looking kitten. And I would have taken it home, honestly, but we already had several pets and I didn't think I could do that, you know, in fairness to them. And honestly, it needed some medical care. So I took it to the, Montgomery County, Animal Welfare League. And they took the cat in and nursed it back to health. And unbeknownst to Kim and I, my wife and I, our daughter Claire, because I had taken pictures and shown them to Claire and my wife, my daughter started texting the Animal Welfare League and wanting to know how the kitten was doing. And then she started dropping hints about, oh, we should adopt that cat. Look at how this cat's doing good. And 3 months later, the cat came to live with us. And I got to tell you, speaking of change, my wife, and she'd be the first to admit, who had been at best a cat tolerator to that point, now absolutely loves that cat. That cat, who we named Mona Lisa because she has a very unusual but picturesque face, Mona Lisa spends every night on my wife's lap and brings a certain joy and comfort to her. Just as this, like, I think probably all of you, at least pet owners, can understand that. But it's a type of change. It's a change that has occurred just in our lifetime. And the thing is, we change, but we not only do we kind of change our behaviors, but we have changed, we as a culture, we as a people, we have changed and come to understand or perceived animals differently. And I think that's a good thing. Increasingly, I know there's still much, much, much work to do, but we're trying to recognize, again, the way in which all creation is blessed and all creation needs to be cared for better than it's been cared for a very long time. And our understanding, our scientific understanding of creation that's other than the two-legged human variety, how incredible it is, how blessed it is. If you're interested, the octopus, some of you, are incredibly intelligent, for lack of better words. And they're just one of all of God's creation that we're recognizing. And then also, finally, and probably most important, because of all this, our attitudes have changed, have they not? Have your attitudes changed? We come here every week, if at least as I understand it, to do exactly that, try to perceive things differently, understand things differently, and change our attitudes. And normally, as it should be, it's, you know, our attitudes towards our other fellow human beings, but it's all of creation as well. And the thing is, who else went through that process? Jesus himself. Jesus himself went through that. Even Luke, at the end of his second chapter, said, Jesus grew in knowledge and wisdom and his years and his divine and human favor. But Jesus grew, changed in knowledge, wisdom. The Jesus that first encountered that woman, that foreign woman, that unclean woman, because she's a woman, and not on top of that, she's an unclean because she's a foreigner. Jesus changed in his understanding of her. And interestingly, Matthew knows that too, because in the entire Matthew's gospel, there's only one time he says, great faith. And it's right there. Jesus says, woman, you have not just faith, great faith. Your daughter is cured. And she is instantly cured. We are called again and again to open ourselves to God, to God's presence in situations, in people, in opportunities, sometimes in failures and lack of success, as well as success. But we are called to be in relationship and be open to change, even as Jesus changed in his understanding and relationship with others. And one of the things that is most beloved for many, and I'm in that camp, is, again, her persistence, her stubbornness even, her willingness to, despite being told no, despite being put down, to keep coming forward to ask for God, for God's presence, for God's action. And it's not just in this story. Just five chapters later, I want to read you. This is taken from 20th chapter of Matthew, and it's a familiar story. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Jesus and his disciples. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David, which is almost exactly what the woman had said. And the crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet. The crowd said, shut up. The crowd probably went and stood in front of them so that Jesus wouldn't even see them or couldn't hear them. But what did they do? They shouted even more loudly. That woman kept coming back. That woman was part of Jesus' transformation, Jesus' growth in compassion. And just five chapters later, we learn that Jesus stopped, and said, what do you want me to do for you? That is one of the most blessed phrases in Scripture. Imprint that on your heart. God saying to us, Jesus saying to you, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? If we really believe that, our life will never be the same. And Jesus said to them, they said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And, most importantly, Jesus touched their eyes and he was moved with compassion. That word again, compassion. And immediately, sounds familiar, immediately they regained their sight. And not only did they regain their sight, but we're told that they followed him. What do you want me to do for you? Answer? In some way, receive from God? and continue to follow or choose to follow for the first time. Change is part of our journey. Change is part of our journey as human beings, regardless of whether we ever darken the doors of a place like this. But change is an integral part of our being here. Our willingness to see others maybe in a new light, with new eyes, with new glasses, to be willing to take risks. Like, you know, good risks. Risks that you truly believe will be life-giving for not just you, but for those around you, for the intention in which you are asking. And then answer that question as it comes to you in whatever form. What do you want me to do for you? Last time I was here, and probably the next time I'm here in a couple of weeks, I tend to ramble, as you know, but I want to end with someone who doesn't ramble at all, but who speaks in a different way, in a poetic way, and I think in her own way embraces what we are called to do and what we are called to be. This is a poem by Mary Oliver. And parenthetically, there's a new documentary film about the life of Mary Oliver out there, so if you're interested. This poem is I Happened to Be Standing by Mary Oliver. I don't know where prayers go or what they do. Do cats pray while they sleep half asleep in the sun? Does the opossum pray as it crosses the street? The sunflowers, the old black oak growing older every year. I know I can walk through the world, along the shore or under the trees, with my mind filled with things of little importance, in full self-attendance, a condition I really can't call being alive. Is a prayer a gift or a petition, or does it matter? The sunflowers blaze. Maybe that's their way. Maybe the cats are sound asleep. Maybe not. While I was thinking that this, I happened to be standing just outside my door with my notebook open, which is the way I begin every morning. Then a wren in the privet began to sing. He was positively drenched in enthusiasm. I don't know why. And yet, why not? I wouldn't persuade you from whatever you believe or whatever you don't. That's your business. But I thought of the wren's singing, what could this be if it isn't a prayer? So I just listened, my pen in the air. Mary Oliver. God bless you in the week ahead.